Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents another message in his 8-part study called Searching the Scriptures. But just before we begin, we have the privilege of eavesdropping on the congregation of Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas, as they celebrate another milestone. As a pastor, Chuck believes that engagement in a local church family represents a personal promise. And so each year, on the anniversary of their founding, it's a tradition for the members to recite a covenant of commitment. Let's listen as the congregation stands to read this document as a symbol of their resolve.
On the 14th of October, 1998, a gathering of people met who did not know one another, and certainly we did not know what the future held. We met at the Stonebriar Country Club in a room that was provided for us. We met there that night, and then a week later we met, and the group grew in size and in excitement, and by and by, we began to meet at the local community college and began to search for land as we realized that the Lord was in the gathering. And over time, we have watched him work. And we are grateful for the growth he has given us as a church. We built a little building, which became our place of worship, and we were all so grateful. And we live our lives both grateful and surprised. And it's a delight to know that the Lord has granted us his favor and allowed us to build this building where we worship, and there'll be more that will come in the future. But the church isn't a building. The church is people. We bring the church with us when we come for worship. Without our presence, it's a hollow, dark place. You can hear your echo, but there's no life without people. On this anniversary, it is important that we reaffirm our commitment to our church's ministry. In reading this covenant of commitment, let us give ourselves anew to the high and holy calling of modeling these words in a world that is increasingly more in need of truth, forgiveness, love, and grace.
We, the congregation of Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas, are committed to the essential calling and the tasks of a local church as set forth in the Holy Scriptures. Our commitment is firm and sure, unchanged by the passing of time, and unthreatened by the swelling tide of human opinion.
These buildings have been erected to the glory of God. Everything that occurs within these walls is to be done for His greater glory. We declare this to be our essential goal as an assembly of Christians.
We commit ourselves to the glory of God.
The proclamation of our message will continue to rest on the infallible Bible. We openly declare our complete trust in its truths, our confidence in its commands, and our hope in its promises. Without reservation, we embrace the Bible as our inerrant guide in faith and practice.
We commit ourselves to the inspired Word of God.
Since our inception, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ has been preeminent. We shall continue to acknowledge Him as the Lord of the Church, deserving of our unreserved devotion, obedience, and praise.
We commit ourselves to the exaltation of the person of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Church.
As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall meet regularly in these rooms for worship, instruction, fellowship, and expression. Our desire is to sustain these priorities through the energizing work of the Holy Spirit, so that the lost are made aware of the good news of our Savior as well as our Christian witness, and the saved are equipped to live authentic, pure lives, both within and outside these walls. We also commit ourselves to the vision of reaching the whole world and to God's plan for raising up workers for His World Mission Program.
We commit ourselves to the evangelizing of the lost and the equipping of the saved.
This place will continue to be dedicated to helping the hurting, encouraging the discouraged, assisting the anguished, and ministering to the sick, the disabled, the aged, the forgotten, the abused, the grieving, and the dying. We shall neither lose our compassion nor conduct ourselves in pride as we open our arms to those who turn to us for strength and counsel. We shall guard ourselves against complacency and indifference. We understand that we are to be more willing to give than receive, to accept rather than reject, to love and nurture the needy rather than judge and show preferential treatment to a select few.
We commit ourselves to an unselfish, compassionate ministry, realizing that we too need others to assist us when we hurt.
Because we are serving Christ in a day of eroding values, we publicly declare our commitment to this nation we love, to the preservation of human life, to the support of marriage and marital fidelity, to the home and family unit, to the distinct biblical roles of husbands and wives, fathers and mothers and children. With equal vigor, we commit ourselves to ministering to adults of all ages, to single persons, to single parents, to collegians, to the youth, and to the children as well. It is our firm conviction that this local body be a place that holds high the dignity of each individual as we hold forth the unchanging principles of scriptural truth.
We commit ourselves to these essential ministries in an eroding society.
As we carry out these commitments, we confess our own humanity, being imperfect creatures with depraved natures. We realize that our dependence on our God must be total, not partial. We therefore commit ourselves to keeping the unity in the congregation, to the discipline of prevailing prayer, and to the filling of the Holy Spirit. We are committed to the financial support of this ministry and to a spirit of humility, transparency, love, mercy and grace, as our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated during His earthly life.
We commit ourselves to a life of dependence on God as we carry out His will in and through us.
And together we read, these commitments we make to the glory and praise of our God, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
enthusiastic voices you hear belong to the congregation at Stonebriar Community Church, reciting their annual covenant of commitment. And the musical anthem called We Believe was performed by the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra. And this is Insight for Living. And now we're prepared to continue the message Chuck Swindoll introduced yesterday, titled Setting the Table, Preparing to Dig into God's Word.
Today, we are in the midst of a series I've called Searching the Scriptures. My goal in this series is really twofold. First is to help everyone become a better student of the Scriptures, so that you don't have to rely on me or some other teacher or preacher to feed your soul. And second, to encourage you among the group who may be called to teach or to preach to be committed to exposition. Not just a story here or there from the Bible, or not a verse pulled out of context and applied rather loosely and in a sloppy manner, but to be a keen student of reading the Scriptures, which is called observation, and understanding the meaning of what you read, interpretation. Discovering what is said in other parts of the Bible on the same subject, which is correlation, and ultimately being able to take those truths and drill them home to your own heart in application, and if you're teaching others, to do the same with them. It occurred to me that I have not given you, until now, a definition of exposition, so I want to do that. To me, exposition covers three main areas. Exposition occurs, one, when the biblical text is studied, understood, and explained. Second, exposition occurs when the text remains the central focus of attention during the delivery of any presentation. Third, exposition occurs when the text is illustrated and applied in keeping with today's needs. Let's go back to those four disciplines quickly here and put a little more meat on the bones, okay? First is observation. Let's read what the verse says. That's observation. Every verse fits into a context. Guard against pulling one verse out and having it stand all alone. That's like reading an article in a magazine and going down halfway through and pulling out a sentence and just stating that as the article. No, it's a part of the whole column. You read all of it. That's called the context. Now back to where we are with Joshua. He's an intimidated man. Think about it. Whose sandals is he filling? It's Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. You notice also that Joshua now takes the scepter of leadership. It's like a relay. The baton is passed from Moses into the hand of Joshua. Joshua picks up where Moses leaves off. Now, who's speaking? Read on. The Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun. The Lord says to him, Moses' assistant to Joshua, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River. You notice in verse 3, the same promise given to Moses is now given to Joshua. Look at the verse. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. Verse 4 gives us the boundaries of all things. If the man was intimidated, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I've given you. Now, he's going to lead a conquest, and they're going to fight for that land, but he knows in the back of his mind, the Lord's given it to him. The Lord's given him the land, and the people of Israel the same. You might wonder, where is the land? Check the context. Look for yourself. To the south, you've got the Negev wilderness. The word Negev means desert. How do I know that? Bible dictionary. You don't have to know Hebrew. Just look up Negev, and you'll find it means the desert down south. all the way down into the wilderness. And to the north, you'll go all the way to the Lebanon Mountains. See what it says in your Bible? That's the border to the north. If you go east, you go to the Euphrates River. If you go west, you go to the Great Sea, which is the Mediterranean. There it is, boxed out for you. The Negev to the south, Lebanon Mountains to the north, the Euphrates to the east, and the Mediterranean to the west. You're home free. You know exactly where the land will be. And the Lord spells it out for Joshua. But he knows people live there who are mean as a junkyard dog. They're called Hittites. And the Hittites fill the land of Israel. How do I know that? Bible dictionary. It tells you when you look up Hittites, you'll find out about them. But he says in verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. As I was with Moses, I will not fail you or forsake you. Hot dog, that's a promise. You can count on it, Joshua. And you know what? We haven't even gotten to our verses. You're thinking, how long is this going to last? Well, we're going to move along, so relax. I'm showing you the value of context. You need to be a student of the context. Why am I yelling? Because I feel a sense of urgency about this. I meet people all the time that talk to me in ways that reveal, I don't mean this to be ugly, but they're biblically ignorant. And you don't have to be. You're not ignorant of the laws of our country. You know what red, yellow, and green mean. You've discovered that. You've learned that. You've taught yourself that. You know what to do when you see red or you see green. When it says wrong way, you know what that means. And you have a license. You have a driver's license that gets you through the streets. You've learned that. You know where you live, so you know your address. You know your phone number. You know your cell number. All four of them, or however many you have. We're running over with phones these days. I won't go into that. I'll save you all that. I give my grandkids that message, but I won't make you sit through it. But now look at verse 6. Watch closely. He says to Joshua, verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, this is my command, be strong and courageous. End of the chapter, look at the final line. So be strong and courageous. You will observe as you read the Bible, four times the Lord says the same thing. So these would be some of the main or the key terms you would notice. You think about them. You picture them in your mind. What is it Joshua would need? He would need strength and he would need courage. So the Lord underscores it again and again. How could Joshua carry on beyond Moses without being intimidated by the previous leader by being strong and courageous? In fact, the Lord says to him that he would be with him. He says to him, be careful to obey, this is verse 7, all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Success is rarely mentioned in the Bible. This is one of the few places, and it's reiterated in verse 8. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. There's the word again. So another key term would be succeed or success. As you read your Bible, you take note of the key words, be strong and courageous, and the word success. You will also observe words like the commands. Verse 8, study the book. Meditate on it day and night. Now, the summary of all of this is fairly simple. God is preparing Joshua to lead the people into a land that has not yet been conquered. He will lead the conquest only by obeying what God tells him to do. He is to have courage and strength, and the Lord will provide it. He is to study and meditate, please observe, day and night. And he is to be strong in his journey of leading the people without fear or without discouragement, knowing that the Lord, his God, is with him wherever he goes. All we've done is to read and observe what the text is saying. We don't read into it, we let it speak to us. We don't foist upon it what we want it to say, we pay attention to what the print on the page reads. It's that simple. In other words, when you have finished your job and you are prepared in heart to lead the people, they will say in response, "Let us march. Let's take the land. We believe you. We believe God is with you. We will go with you as you lead us." Now, this brings us to interpretation. Interpretation is understanding what the verses mean. And we come across things that raise questions. Questions that come are, where were they when God spoke to them? And you'll need to go to Deuteronomy 34 on your own, not today, but on your own, and you'll find they are in the land of Moab, where Moses has died. They've been mourning all these 30 days over Moses' death. On the heels of all of that, the Lord speaks to Joshua. As you interpret, you seek to find out where they are, where these locations are. Another, you determine who the Hittites were. You also might want to check the difference between being strong and being courageous. Good students of the Bible are students of words. You hover over words like a vulture hovers over a carcass. You look at the words. You think through the words. You picture them in your mind. You seek definitions of the words. And throughout your study, you are seeking to determine meaning of the words.
A unique edition of Insight for Living. First, listening to the Covenant of Commitment at Stonebriar Community Church, and then Chuck Swindoll's message on searching the Scriptures. To learn more about Insight for Living, visit us online at insightworld.org. You know, it's not unusual for us to hear from listeners who express their curiosity about the church where Chuck is senior pastor. Well, I'll remind you that you're invited to take a front row seat in the worship center at Stonebriar Community Church every weekend without leaving your home. Every Sunday at 10:40 a.m. Central Time, you can experience the majestic music and Chuck's Bible teaching by streaming the worship service live. You'll find all the instructions at insight.org/Sundays. And then as you've grown through this broadcast series from Chuck called Searching the Scriptures, I'll remind you that he's written a helpful book by the same title, and you can purchase a copy right now by going to insight.org/store. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Now, to be clear, this daily program is not subsidized by any large church or institution. From its earliest days, Insight for Living has been fully funded by grateful listeners all across the country, who are determined to keep Chuck's Bible teaching on the air or over the internet. So thanks for giving generously so others can discover the joy of searching the Scriptures on their own. Not long ago, we received an email from North Carolina that said, "Chuck, I became a Christian as a young Marine stationed at Camp Pendleton, California. It was your teaching and study guides that kept me encouraged and going forward. Today, I'm teaching a Sunday school class, and we're just finishing your study on James." And then he closed with "Semper Fidelis." You never know how God will use your gift to touch a life. To give a one-time donation, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. You can also give online at insight.org. stonebriar.org. Thursday, Chuck Swindoll continues his classic series called Searching the Scriptures. Join us here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Setting the Table, Preparing to Dig into God's Word, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.